You know, work stress, something we all deal with, right?
Yeah, it's practically a universal language.
It really is. Today, we are going to dive deep into the sources you provided about workplace stress triggers.
Right, those things that get us all tense and reaching for the to-do list.
Exactly. And we're going to be focusing on this article, High Workload and Unrealistic Expectations, yeah. Unveiling the Leading Stress Factors at Work.
Yes, and that article points out some really surprising stress factors, not just the usual suspects.
I was surprised by some of them, too. What really stood out to you about this article?
Well, it doesn't just list out stressors.
Oh, right.
It goes deeper than that.
Exactly. It connects them to things like burnout, how productive we are, and even what it costs businesses.
It's true. Yeah. It really is a ripple effect that goes way beyond just feeling stressed.
Absolutely.
So let's just jump right into what the article calls the heavy hitters.
Okay, the big ones.
The most common culprits. High workload and unrealistic expectations.
Yeah, we've all been there, right? Oh, totally. Swamped with tasks, deadlines looming. It's like a recipe for stress.
And the article brings up this statistic from the American Institute of Stress.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
80% of workers feel stressed because of their jobs.
80%?
Wow. Think about that. Millions of people every day.
Struggling with that.
Yeah. And a lot of it comes from feeling overwhelmed by their workload.
I've definitely been there. Have you?
Definitely. It's so common.
Like when the demands of a project just keep growing, but the deadline stays the same.
Oh, yeah. It's like constantly running on a treadmill that's getting faster and faster.
That's a really good way to put it.
And that's a great example of how misaligned expectations can lead to feeling super stressed.
I see what you mean. It's like being set up to fail.
Right. And that's why it's so important for employees and managers to be able to talk openly and honestly.
And be realistic about what's possible.
Exactly. If everyone's on the same page about what can actually get done in a certain time frame,
then there's less chance of stress, right?
Way less.
Yeah.
And speaking of feeling overwhelmed, it's not surprising that the article also points to job demands as major stressors.
Right. Both the physical and mental demands of a job.
And the article emphasizes how not having control over your work can make stress so much worse.
Like when you're micromanaged.
Exactly. Or when your priorities are constantly changing.
You're putting in all the effort, but it feels like the goalposts are always moving.
It's so frustrating.
It really is. While some people appreciate guidance, that feeling of constantly being watched or second-guessed
makes you feel like you can't do anything right.
And when you combine that with constantly shifting priorities,
it's no wonder people get so stressed.
It really isn't.
The article suggests that giving employees a sense of autonomy and trusting their abilities is key.
Right. Treating people like responsible adults.
Empowering people to do the work they were hired for, providing support and guidance, but without controlling every little thing.
I like that. Okay, get ready, because we are about to dive into the drama zone.
Uh-oh.
Office politics. Office politics can go so far beyond just gossip.
Right. It often creates conflict, favoritism, and even a toxic work culture.
Exactly. It's like a breeding ground for stress.
It impacts everyone in the office.
Have you ever been caught in the crossfire of some intense office politics?
Oh, yeah. You know, I've seen things that could rival a soap opera with passive-aggressive emails and the silent treatment in the break room.
It sounds brutal.
It can be. Those situations are so uncomfortable.
They really are.
And it shows just how important it is for leaders to create a positive and inclusive work environment.
What does that look like exactly?
Well, fostering a culture of respect, encouraging open communication, and giving people a way to resolve conflicts.
And in today's world, with so much change and uncertainty,
job insecurity is a huge stress factor.
It really is. Especially with our economy the way it is.
The constant worry about whether you'll have a job tomorrow.
It can really weigh on you.
And it impacts how focused you are at work, your productivity, your overall well-being.
That feeling of not knowing what the future holds can be so unsettling.
It makes you question your value and where you stand in the company.
For sure. And speaking of uncertainty, finding a healthy work-life balance is a struggle for so many people.
Totally. How does the article address that?
Well, it stresses how important it is to set boundaries.
Between work and personal life.
Exactly. And it suggests things like flexible work arrangements so people can manage their time better.
Right.
Personally, I've found that scheduling time to unplug and recharge is essential.
Unplug and recharge. What do?
For me, it's taking walks in nature, reading, spending time with family.
Anything to get away from the screen.
Yeah, and it helps me come back to work feeling refreshed and re-energized.
It's about finding what works for you and creating those pockets of time to replenish your energy and focus.
That's a great way to put it. Okay, let's switch gears for a minute and talk about recognition.
Okay.
Have you ever put your heart and soul into a project, only to have your efforts go completely unnoticed?
Ugh, yes. And the article talks about how demotivating that is.
Totally. It can make you feel resentful and wonder why you even bother going the extra mile.
And it just adds to your stress.
It can really kill your motivation.
Big time.
I remember once my manager publicly acknowledged my work during a meeting.
Oh, nice.
And it was such a small gesture, but it made me feel so valued and motivated to keep doing my best.
That's a great example of how powerful positive reinforcement can be.
It really is.
A genuine thank you, public acknowledgement, even a small gift.
It goes such a long way.
It can totally change an employee's motivation and stress level.
Okay, we need to address something more serious now, something the article also mentions.
Okay, what is that?
Toxic work environments.
Ugh, that's a tough one.
It goes beyond just having a difficult coworker.
Yeah, we're talking about places where bullying, harassment, or just a lack of support are common.
And that can have a devastating impact.
Creating a pervasive sense of fear and anxiety.
It's so important to remember that no one deserves to work in a toxic environment.
You're so right.
If you're going through this, please remember that you're not alone.
There are resources that can help.
Whether it's reaching out to HR, talking to a trusted colleague, or seeking outside help.
You deserve to work in a safe and respectful environment.
You absolutely do. And it's the responsibility of leaders to create that kind of environment.
For sure. Ignoring or downplaying toxic behavior just makes the problem worse.
And it can have serious consequences for everyone.
Absolutely. Okay, let's take a break from that heavy topic and talk about something we can probably all relate to.
Sounds good.
Especially in today's hyper-connected world.
What's that?
The constant stream of digital notifications.
Yes.
And the feeling that you always need to be on.
It's so overwhelming.
It really is. The article highlights how technology can be a huge contributor to stress.
I can see that.
That expectation to be available 24/7, the fear of missing an important email, it all adds up.
I used to be glued to my phone, checking work emails even on vacation. Yeah, it took a real effort to set boundaries and get my personal time back.
So what do you do now?
I schedule times to check messages, and I try to disconnect completely outside those times.
So you set boundaries with technology?
I do. Being mindful of tech use and setting boundaries is so important.
It really is. For our mental health and well-being.
We all need time to unplug, recharge, and do things we enjoy outside of work.
Okay, now let's talk about a universal pain point.
Something we all have to deal with.
The daily commute.
Ew, don't even get me started.
The article makes a great point.
What's that?
A long or stressful commute can ruin your entire day.
Oh, totally.
You show up at work already feeling drained and frustrated.
And that impacts everything.
Your focus, your productivity, how you interact with colleagues.
It's true. I used to have an hour commute each way, and it was soul-crushing.
Wow. An hour each way?
I know. I felt like I was wasting so much time and energy just getting to and from work.
It's such a drain.
Have you found any strategies or commute hacks to make it less stressful?
I've actually found that incorporating mindfulness practices can be really helpful.
Mindfulness on your commute?
Yeah, things like paying attention to my breath, noticing what I see and hear around me, or even practicing gratitude.
Interesting. So you're basically turning your commute into a mindfulness exercise.
Exactly. It can really shift your mindset and reduce stress.
That's a great idea. Okay, as we wrap up this first part of our dive into workplace stressors, what would you say is the key takeaway?
I think the biggest takeaway is that we all have a role to play in addressing these stressors.
Both employers and employees.
Exactly.
So it's a shared responsibility.
It really is. It takes a conscious effort from everyone to create a healthier and more supportive work environment.
That's a great point. So let's dive into some of the solutions the article suggests in the next part.
Sounds good.
For employers, it's about fostering a positive work culture, setting realistic expectations, promoting work-life balance, and recognizing employees' contributions.
All really important things.
They really are. And for employees, it's about communicating openly, setting boundaries, prioritizing self-care, and seeking support when needed.
It's about working together to create a more positive and sustainable work experience.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Welcome back to our deep dive into workplace stress.
It can feel like a lot, right?
It really can. But the good news is, we're not just going to focus on the problems.
We're going to give you some tools and strategies to combat those stress gremlins.
Love that. Empowering ourselves to manage stress effectively.
Exactly.
The article we're looking at talks about this fascinating connection between our thoughts, feelings, and behaviors.
Right. And I think that's key to understanding how we react to stress.
So walk me through that.
Okay. Think about it this way. When something stressful happens at work, your first thoughts about it directly affect how you feel and how you act.
So if I'm thinking I'll never get all of this done,
that kind of negative self-talk can lead to a whole bunch of negative emotions. Anxiety, overwhelm, even hopelessness.
Oh yeah, I've been there.
And those feelings can then lead to unproductive behaviors.
Like what?
Procrastinating, avoiding tasks, even snapping at your colleagues.
Ooh. Yeah, I've done that.
It's like a chain reaction.
But one we can learn to control.
Exactly. We can break that chain by becoming more aware of our thoughts and challenging those negative
thoughts. So instead of, I'll never get this done, I could try something like, this is a lot, but I can break it down and prioritize.
Perfect example. It's about shifting from defeat to problem solving.
Love that.
And this brings us to a great tool for managing stress. Cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT.
I've heard of CBT, but to be honest, I don't really know what it is.
Okay, it's a type of therapy that focuses on changing those unhelpful thought patterns and behaviors that contribute to stress.
Okay.
And it's been proven effective for managing stress, anxiety, even depression.
Wow, that's amazing. But how does it actually work?
Usually you work with a therapist to figure out those negative thought patterns.
Okay.
And then you learn techniques to challenge those thoughts and replace them with more balanced and realistic ones.
It's like retraining your brain.
Exactly. It's like giving your brain a software upgrade.
I like that analogy.
And the best part is CBT gives you tools that you can use long after therapy ends.
So it's not just a quick fix?
No. It's about developing coping mechanisms and strategies for dealing with stressful situations in a healthier way.
Building long-term resilience.
That's it.
So you don't always need a therapist to start using CBT.
Right. There are things you can try on your own.
Like what?
One simple but powerful technique is called thought stopping.
Thought stopping?
What's that?
When you find yourself spiraling with negative thoughts, just tell yourself stop.
Stop. Just like that.
You can even picture a stop sign if it helps.
Interesting.
The key is to interrupt the negative thoughts before they take over.
I'm going to try that. Sometimes it gets so stuck in those loops.
Another technique is called reframing.
Reframing, like looking at things differently.
Exactly. You challenge the way you're interpreting a situation.
For example, instead of seeing a mistake as a huge failure, reframe it as a learning experience.
Oh, that's good.
Ask yourself, what can I learn from this? How can I improve?
It's a totally different way of thinking about things.
And remember, CBT takes practice. The more you work on it, the better you'll get.
It's like strengthening a muscle.
Exactly. A mental muscle.
Okay, so we've talked about reframing our thoughts, but what about managing our physical responses to stress?
You mean those heart racing, sweaty palms, can't breathe moments?
Yeah, that whole fight or flight thing.
Right. While it helped our ancestors escape predators, it's not so useful when you're trying to give a presentation.
Totally. Having a panic attack in a meeting is not a good look.
So how do we manage that physical response?
Yeah, how do we calm down?
Well, that's where relaxation techniques come in. They help calm the nervous system and counteract the fight or flight.
Okay, things like deep breathing and meditation.
Exactly. Deep breathing, especially from your diaphragm, is one of the best ways to calm your nervous system.
It's so simple.
It is.
Yeah.
When we're stressed, our breath gets shallow and quick.
Oh, yeah, I can feel that happening right now.
But if you slow down your breath and take deep belly breaths, you send a signal to your body to relax.
I've tried that, and it really works. It's amazing how such a simple thing can make such a big difference.
It's like an instant reset button.
Exactly.
Deep breathing triggers the parasympathetic nervous system, which is responsible for rest and relaxation.
It's the opposite of fight or flight.
Right, so we're basically hacking our biology to feel calmer.
I like that.
And meditation can also be incredibly helpful for calming the mind and reducing stress.
Even just a few minutes each day.
Makes a big difference.
I gotta admit, I'm not the best at meditating. My mind tends to wander.
Oh, that's totally normal.
Yeah.
Meditation's a practice. It takes time.
Okay.
Be kind to yourself. Don't get discouraged. There are many different types of meditation out there.
So experiment and find what works for you.
Exactly.
So we've talked about CBT and relaxation techniques. What else can we do to manage stress?
Don't forget the basics.
The basics.
Sleep, exercise, and a healthy diet.
Oh, right. Those are so easy to neglect when we're feeling stressed.
I know, but they're so important for our physical and mental health.
It's true. How much sleep should we be getting?
Most adults need 7-8 hours of quality sleep per night.
So it's not just about the quantity, it's the quality too.
Right. Things like a relaxing bedtime routine, making sure your room is dark and quiet, avoiding screens before bed.
Those are all important.
They can make a huge difference in how you sleep and how you handle stress.
Okay. What about exercise?
Sometimes the last thing you want to do after a stressful day is work out.
I know, tell me about it.
But exercise is a fantastic stress reliever.
Really? Even when you don't feel like it?
Even then. When you move your body, you release endorphins, which boost your mood.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that.
And it helps burn off that excess energy and tension.
So even a quick walk can help.
Definitely. Find something you enjoy and do it regularly. Doesn't have to be anything crazy.
Just get moving.
Exactly. Okay, last but not least, nutrition.
Oh, boy. This is a tough one for me. I'm a stress eater.
A lot of people are.
When I'm overwhelmed, I reach for the sugary treats and salty snacks.
It's a common coping mechanism.
Anything for a quick mood boost.
But unfortunately, those foods often make you feel worse in the long run.
Is that right?
They can lead to energy crashes, mood swings, and can even make your anxiety worse.
It's a vicious cycle.
So when you're feeling stressed, focus on nourishing your body with healthy, whole foods.
Like fruits and vegetables.
Yes. Lean protein, whole grains, those kinds of things.
Okay, giving your body the good stuff.
Right. They provide the nutrients your body and brain need to function well and cope with stress.
So we're giving our bodies the weapons they need to fight the stress.
That's a great way to think about it.
We've talked about a lot of individual strategies for managing stress.
We have.
But what happens when that's not enough? What if the work environment itself is the main problem?
That's a really good question. It's like trying to bail water out of a sinking boat.
Right. You can use all the coping mechanisms you want, but if the boat is the problem,
you're eventually going to sink.
You're right. And that's where advocating for change within organizations becomes so important.
Yes. It's not just about coping. It's about getting to the root of the problem.
And creating a culture of well-being in the workplace.
Exactly. Moving beyond just managing stress to actually preventing it.
But how do we actually do that? It seems like such a big problem.
I know it can feel overwhelming.
Yeah.
But remember, even small changes can have a ripple effect.
Okay, so every voice matters.
Every action, no matter how small, helps create a healthier and more supportive work culture.
So how do we start advocating for those changes?
Speak up. Share your concerns with your colleagues, your manager, or HR.
Let them know what you're going through.
And how it's impacting you and your work.
But what if I'm scared to speak up? What if it puts my job at risk?
I understand those fears.
It can feel risky.
It can. It's important to assess the situation and be strategic.
So if I feel okay talking to my manager directly,
that could be a good starting point. Open communication is key to building trust and making positive changes.
And if I don't feel comfortable talking to my manager directly,
maybe you don't have a good relationship or you're worried about retaliation.
Yeah, what the?
In those cases, HR can be a helpful resource.
Okay, how so?
They're there to support employees and deal with workplace issues.
Right.
They can help mediate conversations, help resolve conflicts, or give you advice on handling tough situations.
So there are options.
There are.
We've talked about speaking up internally, but what about advocating for change on a bigger scale?
That's where organizations like labor unions and professional associations can help.
Okay, how do they do that?
They can advocate for policies that protect workers' rights and make workplaces healthier.
So they're fighting for change on a larger level.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they can also provide resources and support to individuals who are dealing with workplace stress or other challenges.
It's about using our collective voice to make a difference.
Right. There's power in numbers. Yeah. And when we work together,
we can create a more supportive and fair work environment for everyone.
Exactly. You're not alone in this. Millions of people are experiencing workplace stress.
And by working together, we can create real change.
Yes, we can.
Okay, before we wrap up this part of our deep dive, let's talk about boundaries.
Oh, yes. Boundaries are so important.
They are essential for protecting our time, energy, and well-being.
Especially in a work culture that often feels all-consuming.
It's like work never ends.
Right. We're expected to answer emails at all hours, work late, be available 24/7.
And it's exhausting. But how do you set boundaries without risking your job?
It can be tricky. It starts with being clear about your own limits and priorities.
What am I willing to compromise on and what are my non-negotiables?
Exactly. Then you need to communicate those boundaries clearly and assertively.
So how do you do that?
Well, you can start by setting expectations up front.
Oh, okay. Like what?
For example, if you're not checking emails after a certain time, let people know.
Just tell them.
You can even put it in your email signature or set up an auto reply.
So be proactive.
Exactly.
But what about when those boundaries get crossed? Like if I get an email late at night.
Or someone expects you to work on the weekend when you said you're not available.
Yeah, what then?
That's when you need to restate your boundaries, calmly and assertively.
Okay.
You can say something like, I'll be happy to look at that first thing tomorrow morning.
Or, I'm not available on weekends, but we can talk about it on Monday.
Exactly. It's about being consistent and not being afraid to push back.
So boundaries are really about respecting yourself.
They are. It's recognizing that your time and energy are valuable.
And you deserve to have a life outside of work.
Right. When we set healthy boundaries, we're not only protecting ourselves,
but we're creating a more respectful and sustainable work environment for everyone.
Exactly. And it sets a good example for others to do the same.
I like that. Okay. As we wrap up this part of our deep dive,
yes,
I want to challenge you to think about your own boundaries.
Good idea.
Are there areas where you feel overwhelmed or taken advantage of?
Mm-hmm.
If so, how can you start setting clearer boundaries to protect yourself?
Remember, setting boundaries is not selfish.
It's self-care.
It's a way to create a healthy and fulfilling work experience.
And it benefits everyone.
Exactly. It's a gift to yourself, your colleagues, and your loved ones.
Welcome back to the final part of our deep dive into taming workplace stress.
We've covered a lot of ground, haven't we?
We have, from identifying stressors to CBT techniques to setting boundaries.
And now we're going to shift gears a bit.
Okay, where are we headed?
We're going to talk about creating a career that truly aligns with your values and aspirations.
I love that. Finding work that feels meaningful.
Because when you're passionate about your work and feel a sense of purpose,
it makes those inevitable workplace challenges a little easier to handle, right?
Exactly. It's like that saying, choose a job you love and you'll never work a day in your life.
Of course, even jobs we love have their tough moments.
They do. But having that sense of purpose can help you get through them.
It's like a buffer against the stress.
Exactly. When our work feels meaningful and aligns with our values,
it becomes a source of energy, even when things are tough.
It does.
So how do we find that sweet spot, that career path that lights us up?
It starts with self-reflection.
Looking inward.
Exactly. Take some time to think about what truly matters to you.
Okay, like
your core values, your passions, what skills you enjoy using and want to develop.
Values, passions, skills.
Got it. But sometimes it feels like those things are all jumbled up in my head.
I get that. There are resources out there that can help you sort through it all.
Like what?
Career assessments, personality tests, journaling prompts.
Okay. I love a good personality test.
They can be really insightful. They can help you understand what you're really looking for in a career.
And self-discovery is an ongoing process, right?
Absolutely. Your values and aspirations might change over time.
That's totally normal.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's about staying curious, being open to new possibilities, and checking in with yourself to see what really matters. So it's like a lifelong treasure hunt, figuring out what makes us tick.
I love that analogy.
So once you have a better sense of your values and what you want,
then it's time to explore. Research different career paths, network with people in the fields you're interested in.
Get out there and talk to people.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even try out different roles through internships or volunteer work.
Or even just informational interviews.
Right, just to get a feel for different jobs.
It's about experimenting, stepping outside your comfort zone.
And don't get too caught up in the job title or the salary.
Okay, there's more to it than that.
Think about the work environment, the company culture, the impact you'll be making.
Those are all important factors.
They're often more important than the specifics of the role itself.
Finding a workplace where you feel like you belong.
Where you can thrive.
Exactly.
And don't be afraid to ask questions during interviews.
To get a sense of the company's culture.
Does it align with your values? It's a two-way street.
It's like dating, making sure you're a good match before you commit.
Exactly. Finding that mutual fit.
And building a fulfilling career takes time, right?
It does. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Small steps, staying true to yourself, and not giving up.
You got it.
Okay, we've talked about finding a career that aligns with your values.
Mm-hmm.
But what if you're feeling stuck in your current job?
What if you're not feeling inspired?
Is there anything you can do to rekindle that spark while you're figuring things out?
Absolutely. There are ways to make your current work more meaningful, even if that's not your dream job.
Okay, I'm listening. How do we do that?
One way is to focus on your strengths. What are you really good at?
Okay.
How can you use those strengths more in your current role?
So finding those opportunities to shine.
Exactly. You could volunteer for a project, mentor a colleague, anything that lets you use your skills.
That's a great idea.
And look for ways to learn and grow. Are there skills you want to develop?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe.
Could you take a class, shadow a colleague in a different department?
Be proactive, create your own opportunities.
Exactly. And never underestimate the power of connection.
Connecting with others.
Building relationships with colleagues, mentors, even clients can make your work more meaningful.
Having those connections can make such a difference, especially when things get tough.
It's a reminder that you're not alone.
It really is.
And don't forget about kindness and generosity.
Okay, how does that fit in?
How can you make a positive impact through your work?
I see what you mean.
Maybe help a colleague who's overwhelmed. Volunteer your skills for a nonprofit.
Small acts can have a big impact.
They really can.
Yeah.
It's a reminder that we can all make the world a better place.
Both at work and outside of work.
Exactly. And remember, you are not your job title.
There's more to life than work.
It's important to have passions and interests outside of work.
Things that bring you joy and make you feel fulfilled.
Hobbies, volunteering, spending time with loved ones, all those things.
It's about creating a life that feels balanced and aligned with your values.
And it's a journey with ups and downs, but it's all part of the adventure.
I like that. So as we wrap up this deep dive into workplace stress, I want to leave you with this thought. You have the power to create a work experience that is both meaningful and sustainable.
That's so true.
It starts with taking ownership, being proactive, and never losing sight of what truly matters to you.
And never stop exploring, learning, and growing.
The world is always changing, and so are we.
Embrace the journey and trust that you'll find a career that brings you challenge and fulfillment.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive.
It was my pleasure.
We hope you found it insightful and empowering, and that you feel equipped with new tools and strategies for taming workplace stress and creating a career that truly lights you up.
And remember, you are not alone in this journey. We're all in this together.
That's a great reminder. Thanks again for listening.